In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There were two little boys in a Lutheran parochial school who had a habit of getting into mischief. One day, their teacher had just had enough. She was fed up, and she sent them to the pastor's office for discipline. The pastor wanted to impress on them that God is everywhere and that he sees everything we do. So he called one little boy into the office, and he looked at him and he said, "Where is God?" And the boy didn't answer. He looked at him again and said, "Where is God?" And still the boy didn't answer. He looked at him a third time and said, "Where is God?" Still no answer. But the boy looked sufficiently terrified. So the pastor said, "Go out now and send in your friend." The little boy walked out of the office and he whispered to his friend, "We're really in trouble this time. God is missing and they think that we took him." Where is God? That's a good question for the church to consider on this day when we think about the ascension, about the Son of God ascending into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. It's challenging for us to picture the ascension, although it is part of the beautiful stained glass window over the choir stalls here at First Trinity. We may well wonder, if Jesus really loves us, why did he leave us, and where did he go? Where is God is also a question that I think is on the minds of many people, even those who are outside of the church. If the shows on television these days are to be believed as accurate reflections of the popular mindset, and I tend to think that they are. For instance, there's the documentary, The History of God, with the golden-voiced Morgan Freeman, and he compares different world religions and their beliefs and practices. Then there's a situation comedy, God Friended Me, about a young man who receives text messages from God. And there are a number of shows about the afterlife, or at least about a continuation of some sort of physical life after death, and these would include The Good Place, Altered Carbon, and Upload. Usually, I try to watch an episode or two of any program that deals with religion to stay up on what's happening in popular culture and to see what thoughts and issues are out there. Now, I can't say that I would necessarily recommend any of these shows. For the most part, they portray a generic, non-specific God who might be ubiquitous, but is so benign and milquetoast that he, she, or it hardly seems to matter. They assume that everyone is going to heaven, regardless of their belief or actions, with heaven being more like an all-inclusive vacation resort in the Dominican Republic than it's anything like the marriage feast of the Lamb in the Revelation. And they treat all ethics as relative, with being nice, whatever being nice means to you, as the highest good. Our Christian faith tells us something very different. We can answer the "where is God" question and what that means for us. And the ascension gives us a big part of that answer. After Jesus died and descended into hell, which I always like to call Jesus' victory lap, and then rose again, Christ appeared on earth for 40 days. He was seen alive by the disciples and by more than 500 witnesses. There were enough eyewitnesses to Jesus' physical resurrection that we can be absolutely certain that it really did happen. During that time, Jesus taught his disciples, his followers. He opened the scriptures to them. He told them everything that we Christians need to know. Then Christ departed from them. Jesus had told them beforehand that this was going to happen. But as so often happened, the disciples didn't understand it when he told them. We human beings can be kind of slow sometimes. Jesus told them that it was to their advantage that he would go away. Christ said it would be better for them that way. How could a world without the risen Christ present on earth possibly be better than one with Jesus walking with us side by side, day by day? It just doesn't seem to make sense. Oh, it's not as if Jesus is leaving us all alone. It's not as if Jesus totally abandoned us. Jesus had to depart so that the Holy Spirit could arrive. A single individual Christ is a good thing, a great thing. Having the Holy Spirit extend the mind and ministry of Christ to more and more people in more and more places, that is even better. Jesus said that we would do even greater works than he did. That sounds impossible, but it's true. It did happen, and it is happening. By the power of the Holy Spirit, followers of Christ are taking his love and his message of salvation all over the world. And that's being done by common people like you and me. And it is also true that while Jesus ascended into heaven and sent us the Holy Spirit, he is still present here with us in some other ways. Somehow, I got on an email list for social research surveys from Harvard University. Imagine that. My opinions are going into the research of an Ivy League school. That's just frightening. Recently, they sent me several questionnaires on the COVID-19 pandemic, including questions about how this is affecting me socially, spiritually, emotionally. They asked things like, do you appreciate the beauty of nature daily? And do you experience the presence of God every day? And I tell them, yes, I do, but probably what I mean is not what they were thinking of when they posed the question. God is the creator. Nature is his handiwork. But we are not pantheists. We don't say that God is in everything or that everything is God. We do say that the beauty of creation and the complexity of nature witness to God's power and wisdom. So, yes, we see the marks, see the imprint of God in the cosmos. Moreover, Christ has a sacramental presence in this world through the means of grace. The Bible is not just an old book of folk wisdom or a redacted history of world events. The Bible is God's word. The living Christ speaks to us through the scriptures and through the spirit-filled preaching of the church. It is Jesus' voice we hear. And we believe that in the Holy Communion, Jesus Christ is truly present. The bread really is his body and the wine his blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Christ is here among us in the eating and the drinking. And how we all long so much to be able to come together again and celebrate the Lord's Supper. I have heard that from so many of our members. Lord, may it be soon. So, we see that the majesty of God is reflected in nature, and Christ is present in word and sacrament. So far, so good. But what does it mean when we confess in the creeds that Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father? Where is heaven? Where is God seated? Now, we no longer believe in a three-story universe with a heaven above and a hell below and the earth in between, although we still sometimes talk that way. It's a convenient shorthand. When the first man in space, cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, said that he didn't see heaven on his way up, he wasn't lying. But just because you can't see heaven with a telescope or locate it on your GPS does not mean that it doesn't exist. God is spirit. The physical realm and the spiritual realm are separate, mostly. Heaven can mean many things, and one thing heaven can mean is God's abode. Much about the spiritual heavenly realm is beyond our human physical capability to understand. But the scriptures are trustworthy, and Jesus tells us that he has gone to prepare a place for us so we can believe that he is there and that he will come and take us to himself. At the same time, it is also true that God is omnipresent. He really is everywhere all the time, and he knows everything. You can't hide from God. God is constantly holding the universe together, and sometimes he acts in unexpected ways, outside of his usual modus operandi. We call those mighty acts of God. Or maybe we call them miracles. These include things such as the Exodus and the resurrection. But a miracle, a mighty act of God, is happening every moment because our sins are forgiven every second based on what Jesus has done for us. Where there is forgiveness of sin, there is God. So God is with us literally all the time. And where God is, heaven is. So we have a little bit of heaven here on earth already. We who are baptized and believe have eternal life and God's constant presence even now. Just sitting at God's right hand is an image from ancient times, when a high-ranking advisor, equivalent to a secretary of state or a secretary of defense, would sit at a king's right hand. That's a position of authority and power. Christ exercises his power and authority in that he intercedes for us. He is our mediator. Jesus brings our prayers to God's throne of grace, and knowing what it is to be human, he pleads for mercy for us in the heavenly court. God the Father loves the Son, so instead of judgment, we get pardon. Would have been nice to be one of the original disciples and stare up at the soles of Jesus' nail-scarred feet as he ascended into heaven. But that wasn't what God chose for you and I. We have something just as good, though. Rather than sight, we have faith. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and therefore, we have the salvation of our souls. So we can love and serve God and others, until that great day when Jesus does come again to this earth, or until that great day when he comes to take us home to be where he is forever. Amen.